ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from chapter 5, Lord Rishabhadev's teachings, text 6. Emam mana karma bhashan prayunkte avidyayatmani upadiyamane prithir na yavan mahi vasudeve na mujyate dehayogena dhavat evam mana karma basham prayogate avidyayatmani upadhyamane pritina yavan mahi vasudeve namuchyate deha yogena tavat evam thus mana, the mind, karma vasham, subjugated by fruitive activities, prayunte, acts, avidyaya, by ignorance, atmani, when the living entity upadiyamane is covered priti and love na not yavat as long as mahi unto me Vasudeva Krishna na nut muchyate is delivered deha yogena from contact with the material body tavat so long. Translation and purport. When the living entity is covered by the mode of ignorance, he does not understand the individual living being and the supreme living being, and his mind is subjugated to fruitive activity. Therefore, until one has love for Lord Vasudeva, who is none other than myself, he is certainly not delivered from having to accept the material body again and again. When the mind is polluted by fruit of activity, the living entity wants to be elevated from one material position to another. Generally, everyone is involved in working hard day and night to improve his economic condition. Even when one understands the Vedic rituals, he becomes interested in promotion to heavenly planets. not knowing that one's real interest lies in returning home back to Godhead. By acting on the platform of fruit of activity, one wanders throughout the universe in different species and forms. Unless he comes in contact with a devotee of Lord Vasudeva, a guru, he does not become attached to the service of Lord Vasudeva. Knowledge of Vasudeva requires many births to understand. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sadurlabha. After struggling for existence for many births, one may take shelter at the lotus feet of Vasudeva Krishna. When this happens, one actually becomes wise and surrenders unto him. That is the only way to stop the repetition of birth and death. This is confirmed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the instructions given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Srila Rupa Goswami at Dashvamedha Ghat. Brahmanda Brahmite Konabhagya Bhanji Guru Krishna Prasadipai Bhakti Lata Bij. The living entity wanders through different planets in different forms and bodies. But if by chance he comes in contact with the bona fide spiritual master, by the grace of the spiritual master, he receives Lord Krishna's shelter and his devotional life begins. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dinamane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gurvani Pacharine Nirvasesha Sunyavari Pastya Tadeshi Tarine. Evam Manakarma Vasham Prayungte Vidyayat Mani upadiyamane pitana yavan mai vasudeve namuchyate deyogena tabat. So when we're covered by ignorance, we don't understand either ourself or the Supreme Lord. The Lord is in our heart, so he's very close to us, but we don't really know it when we're covered by ignorance. We get some hints. Sometimes the Supreme Lord makes us feel that we should do something good or that we should avoid doing something bad. The conscience operates and this is an indication of the Supreme Lord's guidance. He wants to see us turn toward him. But his maya is covering us. Our understanding of the Lord, even our understanding of ourself, is not correct. We think we're the body. And the mind is subjected to fruitive activity. We're thinking, if I can just get into a situation in which, and then we have so many ideas, I can do this, I can do that. We constantly get ideas how we can be in a good situation, a happy situation. And we work for those things. Generally, the method is to earn money, because with money you can do things. Sri Prahlad said that money is the honey. And I was sitting in a garden once with Prabhupada when he repeated this. He said that money is the honey for the materialist. He works day and night, because with that money he can enjoy the senses or help the family members enjoy the senses. And to the conditioned soul, that's all there is. There's just this search for some temporary enjoyment. The family members demonstrate their love for each other by doing things together, by enjoying their senses. But Prabhupada said that money is the honey also for the devotee, the pure devotee. He'll use the money in Krishna's service. He wants to please Krishna, especially by distributing Krishna consciousness and awakening the conditioned souls from their ignorance. So a pure devotee will have many uses for Lakshmi, for money. So he thinks, ah, the money is also the honey for me. He can serve Krishna. He's motivated, though, by love for Vasudeva. So he's not on the same path. He's not going to end up in the same destination as the conditioned soul who's spending money. The conditioned soul gets entangled in avidya. There are different types of avidya. Generally, they are categorized as three according to the modes of nature. One can be in ignorance, or one can be in the mode of passion, or in the mode of goodness. Those are all different types of avidya. The mode of goodness is not so bad as the other two types of ignorance or avidya. The tamagun mode of ignorance is really thick. It's a dense covering. It sometimes is compared to the body of a tree. You can't do much when you're in the body of a tree. You can't speak, you can't taste so many nice foods like the human being, or even the animals or the birds. You're just eating with your feet. You eat with your feet. You're a tree, drinking the water from the ground. So it's a dense covering. Or any animal form of life, sometimes that's also considered to be in the mode of ignorance. There's not much illumination, but there's something. There's some interest in eating and sleeping and mating and defending. But sattva-gun is when you realize, I'm not this body. I'm different than the temporary body. And for them it's easier to become elevated. To spiritual life. The spiritual master, the pure devotee, will preach to anyone, even people in the mode of ignorance, people who are intoxicated by drugs. We go to Woodstock, we go, Srila Prabhupada went to New York. He preached to musicians who were high on drugs. Allen Ginsberg, the hippies. It was a little easier when he was in India. There the people had some sattva-gun, influence of sattva, goodness. They understood from their culture, I'm not the body, the body's temporary, and I'm eternal. So Prabhupada was aware of different types of civilization, both by practical experience and through the Shastra. Through the Shastra, we can analyze different types of civilization, different arrangements. A civilization that's in the mode of ignorance and passion wants to drag people down to degraded activities, activities that aren't really fit for human life. Socially, politically, economically, there are differences. People can, those arrangements, social, political, and economic arrangements, they can be according to the mode of goodness or passion or ignorance. You know, if people are encouraged to become intoxicated, to drink and smoke and to take drugs, to eat meat, to engage in horrifying violence to other living entities, just to satisfy the tongue, just to get the taste of the body of another living entity, this killing. Civilization encourages killing for your sustenance. So the Vedic Shastra recommends not to do that. So Prabhupada recognized these differences in civilization, and even the hippies, they wanted to change their life. They thought that the materialistic life of their parents was a drag. You know, why should you work day and night just to get ahead and acquire material goods? Can you be happy that way? The hippies grew up in affluent families, so they had experience of having plenty of material comforts, and they realized it didn't make them happy. There must be some higher happiness. Why should I work and work and work for external things? You know, this is based on the assumption that I'm this body, and that if I satisfy the senses, then myself, the self, will become happy. But it isn't true, according to the Shastra. Real happiness will come when you know the Supreme Lord, know yourself as Spirit, and love the Supreme Lord, love Krishna. So that kind of civilization, in which the opportunities are there to develop love for Krishna. People found that, and people still find that, in the arrangements of, for example, the Society for Krishna Consciousness. Here there's so many opportunities to develop love for Vasudeva. So that was Prabhupada's purpose, to bring the human society up to this platform of civilization. And love is natural. Everyone is loving. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to love Vasudeva. Rishabhadeva is saying, develop love for Vasudeva. And of course, Vasudeva is Rishabhadeva. And we're all loving. We're all trying to love someone. Maybe we have a boyfriend, a girlfriend. Or we have children. The mothers love their children, always taking care of the child. The attention is really on the child all the time. But these are just reflections of the real love. They're not actual love, because they don't last. That doesn't mean we should ignore others, but our love should be motivated by this deeper eternal love for Vasudeva that we should find in the hearts of others. When we try to love others, have a heartfelt connection with others, it should be based on this understanding that the deepest love is demonstrated by loving Vasudeva. There's other grades of love. These other grades of love, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, loving the children, they're also all right. Especially they're good if the civilization is connected to Vasudeva. If everyone is concentrating on Vasudeva, then everyone gets the most satisfaction and reaches the highest goal of life. Then our tendency to love becomes really fruitful. It bears fruit. Jaya Sisi Radha Gopinath Ladita Vishakha Sisi Gonitaya Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. So bhakti yoga, the offering of love to Krishna, this will help us perfect our tendency to love, and our tendency to love will bear fruit. And in the association of devotees, we'll feel very attentively in love with Krishna. We'll be interested in devotional service, loving devotional service to Krishna. The Bhagavatam condemns other grades of demonstrations of love, which can be a waste of time. Bhagavatam says other kinds of dharma that aren't on the level of love of Krishna, they're shrama eva hi kevalam. They're not serving the full purpose of human life, the real purpose of human life. So here we're learning in this class and through these scriptures, we're learning about different levels of human life, and that bhakti yoga is the best way to reach the highest stage. There are other levels attained by other methods. But these methods are usually mixed with some bhakti. The other kinds of yoga have a little bhakti, but not as much as in bhakti yoga. There's karma yoga, gyan yoga, different kinds of meditation. But unless one concentrates just on bhakti yoga, then it takes a person a long time to reach perfection. Maybe many births. Krishna says, Vasudev Sarvamiti Samamasadurlabha. It's pretty hard to attain Vasudev unless you take some bhakti yoga as your main method. So it may take people many lives, many births, to become perfect, to attain love for Krishna. Because they have some mixed motives, or they accept mixed methods for attaining their goals. They're still not fully convinced that they should try to love Krishna. Instead, they pursue different forms of promotion in this world. They want maybe some promotion to higher planets. Sometimes people seek life, a life that lasts very long and that offers better facilities. In the Vedic scriptures, you hear about these promotions to higher planets. So it's similar to what people do in this life. They seek promotion through better education and working harder. They want the highest pay, the most benefits. And there really are a lot of people doing this. There are many, many people who are highly paid, and they're working day and night. They're trying to create the best possible situation in this life. Now, among the devotees, maybe someone will endeavor in this life to become perfect and not achieve the goal, so he'll take birth again too. But Krishna says that he achieves his next life in the family of a Brahmin, someone who is leading a pure life, suchinam. Suchi means pure. A family is considered pure if the family is worshipping Krishna, eating pure vegetarian food offered to Krishna, if it's following samskaras. Or someone who's practicing devotional service but doesn't perfect it might become the son or daughter of a rich family. That's called Srimat. Sri means wealth, and Mat means one who has wealth. So in a wealthy family, you may have many good opportunities. You don't have to work so much. You can devote yourself more to education. Education may lead to higher knowledge. If you don't have to work day and night, then you can try to cultivate the aspects of civilization that are conducive to spiritual elevation. So in this way, people get chances in their next lives. We see there's a lot of children in Vaishnava families in ISKCON, and they get so many from babyhood and childhood, they get many opportunities to serve Krishna just by playing kartals or dancing, offering obeisances. So because of their previous life, it's something they did in a previous life, they get a chance to be born among the devotees. But even if you don't get that chance, it doesn't mean you cannot become a devotee. You can start Krishna consciousness anytime. And then you enter into the spiritual atmosphere. That's the Vrindavan atmosphere. We were hearing on Radharani's appearance day about the mood in Vrindavan. The friends and the parents and the girlfriends of Krishna, they're so attached to Krishna. Even the trees and the plants and the grains of sand in Vrindavan, the river, everyone is attached to Krishna. All existence in Vrindavan is conscious and conscious of Krishna. So that's the highest stage of life. And when we attain that, then our spiritual life becomes fully realized. We no longer have the desires that go with having a materially covered mind and a material body. The kinds of desires we have now, we won't have when we attain spiritual life. Then our desires will be just in relation to Krishna. How can I make Krishna comfortable? How can I satisfy Krishna? So we did this by Prabhupada's mercy. We took to Krishna consciousness, even though we came from backgrounds that were very bad. Malecha, Yavana backgrounds. We were not all born in pure families. So when we take Krishna as our life and soul, then that's vidya. Avidya, there's different types of avidya according to the modes of nature. But vidya means taking Krishna as your life and soul. That's also compared to the light, the jyoti. The Vedas say, come to the light. Don't stay in the darkness. Jyoti means to love Krishna. And the loving affairs of Krishna, they're in the spiritual world. So the spiritual world is very bright. There's much effulgence in the spiritual world. No ignorance. So the main way to attain this is by hearing. Hearing about Krishna and hearing the holy names of Krishna. If we seriously hear and chant, and if we sincerely avoid the other kind of hearing about the affairs in the mundane world that are not connected to Krishna's service, then we'll be in good shape. People who never get a chance to hear about Krishna, all they can hear about are things in this world. Of course, when a devotee hears about the world, he sees it in relation to the way Krishna sees it. He understands it philosophically. What's happening in the world, he can understand through the eyes of Shastra, through the Bhagavad Gita, what the Bhagavad Gita says about why people do what they do. why things happen to them the way they do. But a devotee just wants, if he does hear about the world, his interest is in learning how to be a better servant of Krishna in the world. He wants to increase his love for Krishna. That's his interest. Maya is there. Maya wants to drag the soul into some kind of danger. There's always some temptation in the world to leave the spiritual platform and enjoy the senses. There's so much advertisement in the world. People, it's a very dangerous civilization. The people are advertising so many dangerous things, things that are dangerous and insane. Therefore, we're lucky that Prabhupada came and showed us the way to understand our actual problem, that I'm not this body. The body is just a covering. It's like a foreign thing. We can't really be at home in the body, although we do live day by day as if we're at home in the body, but we can't really feel at home in this body. It's a foreign thing, covering ourself. So at some point, the body can contain spiritual life. At some point, the body just can't contain the expressions of bhakti that a devotee makes, and the devotee has to give up the body and attain the spiritual body, because the material body can't accommodate the full expression of bhakti and love for Vasudeva. So the devotee gives up the foreign body. But the materialist is thinking, oh, the time of death. And he doesn't know what will happen. And he doesn't want to admit that he'll take another body and he'll have to reap what he has sown. He'll get reactions for what he's done. He doesn't want to consider that. So the scholars then say, oh, it's all finished at the time of death. Everything is finished. Don't worry, don't worry. So in this way, the civilization misleads people. And Prabhupada is delivering people from this ignorance. People are wandering through different planets and different forms and bodies, just looking for a little promotion, a little better situation. But when they meet a spiritual master, then they receive Krishna's shelter. And they understand that the civilization of avidya is very dangerous for them. Any questions? Don't feel encouraged sometimes. Yeah, people in general might discourage the devotees, you know, and criticize their practices, their neophyte bhakti yoga. It may not be appreciated by people, by the family members of the devotees, or even by other devotees. The other devotees may not appreciate our efforts. Sometimes we don't extend enough encouragement to each other. And it's not very likely that ordinary people will encourage us. Some will. Some are in the mode of goodness, and they'll appreciate what the devotees are doing more than others. But even if we don't get encouraged, we'll feel encouraged because we're connected to Krishna. We'll always feel encouraged when we read or hear about Krishna, and when we chant Krishna's names. We're Krishna at that time is encouraging us. Who could be better at encouraging us than Krishna himself? So he does that. He contacts us when we chant Hare Krishna. Krishna's in touch with us and saying, yes, come on, to me, come on. That's good what you're doing. And if you try to love me, then I'll love you. Krishna reciprocates with us. Sometimes there's great discouragement. I was reading about the devotees in Bombay in 1973. They were trying to help Srila Prabhupada by living at Juhu Beach, and there was almost nothing there. They had to tolerate a great deal of exposure to tropical weather and insects and scorpions and mosquitoes, and they didn't have a proper residence to live in. And the deities had only just a shed, just a temporary shed made of some bricks and some steel roof. And the landlord was fighting the devotees, trying to cheat them, not let them have the land, and trying to cheat them out of the land, take it back. And almost no one in Bombay at that time was a supporter of ISKCON. ISKCON was unknown. There were only 10 or 15 people who were really attracted by Srila Prabhupada and willing to really fight the fight that they had to fight. And others, they were making life members in Bombay, but they were sort of casual devotees at that time. And the devotees had to fight the civil authorities. They came and tried to take down the temple. They actually did take down the temple. They brought 100 people, and they brought machines that would destroy the temporary structure. And the devotees were trying to defend themselves and the deities, and the police were dragging them away. The pujari locked the door. The lady who was the pujari locked the door, and she was trying to defend the deities, and the police just took her by the hair and dragged her to the police van. So much difficulty, so much lack of encouragement, so much discouragement. But then they saw it later as Krishna's arrangement. Krishna put them in a difficulty so that a big campaign could be made in the devotees' favor, in the favor of Krishna's temple. Then the people woke up after that. The word was put out by some groups in defense of Hindu Dharma, and people understood that this had been a big attack, a very illegal attack on Krishna's temple and Krishna's devotees. So Krishna turned the public opinion in his favor. So we have to see, sometimes some trial might be there, very serious trial. We were in America, I was in America at that time, and I was just a student in college, and we were trying to do what we thought was right. We were protesting the Vietnam War and various other things, and the same thing was going on. The police were coming to arrest us. Sometimes they were dragging us away and putting us in police vans, and they're arresting us. But we weren't enjoying the nectar as much as the devotees in Juhu Beach, because they were being dragged away by the police for Krishna, and we were just being dragged away for some political cause or some economic cause that we were, and we wanted more fairness, or we wanted more justice. But the devotees were so much in love with Krishna that they were willing to undergo this harassment. they were so inspired by Srila Prabhupada to love Krishna and to love Krishna's service. Prabhupada was a great inspiration to them. So Prabhupada can inspire us. We'll get the mercy of Srila Prabhupada if we try to serve his purposes. We'll receive his mercy, and that will encourage us. What if we get born in a family in which we have wealth and we don't have to work so hard? We have time to study and pursue our interests. It might be bad for us. And then? If they're not transcendentalists, there's a chance we go off the track. It might not be beneficial, but it can be if you meet again your guru or a guru. You know, for example, some American devotees were born in very rich families, and they got opportunities to buy properties for Srila Prabhupada with their money. And they pleased him because of their previous practice of yoga. They came in contact again with a guru and principles that were conducive. So you carry that with you. You get a chance to bring that forward. It doesn't, you don't lose the progress you've made. So you do have some impetus there to seek something transcendental. And Krishna can make arrangements for that, for more advancement. But there's a danger, like you said, there's a danger. Prabhupada said that he had opportunities because he was born in a wealthy family. He had all opportunities for these four activities that we don't do: the illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, and meeting. In a wealthy family, you have opportunities for those things. But Prabhupada said, I never once did I have any contact with those activities. So my life was pure. So Krishna protected him. We have to develop faith that Krishna will protect us. Other families, I know a family in Germany that there are two devotees who their parents were very wealthy. Sachinanana Swami and his brother, they're both devotees. I'm sure there are many. Yeah, many of the first followers of Prabhupada came from wealthy families. Giriraj Swami came from a millionaire's family. But by Krishna's arrangement, he was saved from any danger, in the dangerous civilization. Okay, I think we can stop. Hare Krishna, glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.